And welcome to the McLean Chronicles. My name is Ross McLean. Thank you for joining me on this ride with my podcast as I seek to bring complicated issues and make them simple to help my audience understand a lot more of what's going on in this world, what's going on behind the curtains, what is actually happening and how it's going to affect you in your life. I thought I'd do something a little different today. And rather than just do my normal podcast, I'm uploading an interview that I did with Mark Petroni over at Saga 960. That's one of the top radio stations here in Toronto, and Mark is one of the top radio hosts. He does a great job. I love interviewing with him. Anyways, we covered a lot of ground today in this interview that we did. We covered everything from political interference by the Chinese to a potentially corrupt Mountie charge that's going on, and some of the other issues that are going on with political corruption and integrity in our government. And I gave some of my analysis to this. And there's a bit of a surprise ending to the interview that caught me a bit by surprise with Mark's question, but I think we all ended up okay with it. I hope you enjoy this interview, and thank you again for downloading the podcast. I look forward to talking with you more. Thank you for joining the McLean Chronicles.
And we're back with more News Talk Saga 960. So very glad you could join us to start your work week right here on the Mark Petrona Show. Ross McLean joining us, security expert, also has a terrific podcast, which I'm sure he'll be happy to tell you all about how you can access that terrific content. And he's coming to us from the GTA, where, well, the talk is that a former Mountie has targeted, or did target, rather, a British Columbia real estate tycoon for China. That, according to the RCMP. This is a Fife and Chase story over at the Globe and Mail. They're saying, Ross, that the Mounties are pointing to a retired RCMP officer who was charged over the summer with conducting foreign interference on behalf of China. And he was targeting a wealthy Vancouver real estate entrepreneur named Kevin Sun. I don't know. This looks like to me they're trying to get the heat off themselves over the fact that they won't investigate to any really great degree Chinese election interference. I think they're trying to muddy the waters a little bit. To me, that's what they're doing here. They're saying, oh, we're going after China. Yeah, this guy, he worked for China. Meantime, they're ignoring the massive elephant in the room, which is election collusion by the blackface regime with the Chinese. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, this government is certainly the professionals at misdirection, right?
Yeah.
Squirrel, look over here. Squirrel, look over here. This sort of thing. But unfortunately, I think it's still a long thread that the more you pull on it, the more it ties together all of the problems we have in this country with Chinese influence in Canada and into our wealth, into our resources, into our government decisions, right into our Department of Finance with Chrystia Freeland. There's just... the trail goes on and on this, Mark.
Yeah, now we got Guilbeault, the environment minister, going over there as, some kind of consultant invited over there to help the Chinese with their environmental issues. I mean, they're just using this guy for cover so that they can continue polluting to their heart's content. They're saying, oh, look, we brought in an expert. Yeah, they're going to shower this guy with praise, bolster his ego, and say, look, Western countries, we're serious about getting our carbon emissions down. We even brought Stephen Guilbeault here to help us out. They're making a fool out of him. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, they've brought him over there. It's more than just a committee. He is apparently on a board with the Chinese Communist Party to talk about the climate issues. You know, our world is boiling. I think it's boiling over with unethical behavior and corruption, not so much the climate. But he's over there sitting on a board to discuss the friendly way that Canada and China is going to get along. We've also, by the way, for all of you who are paying carbon taxes, who maybe just filled up your car as you're listening and you're driving along, he gave them $16 million of our money. We gave China $16 million of our money. Maybe that was the carbon tax money.
They're collecting it from us and they're giving it to China. Anyway.
Let me say, Every time you go on these threads, they're crazy. I mean, China burns more coal than anybody in the world.
Yep.
Where do you think they get all their coal from? Canada. Who do you think was on the board of the mining company that sold all of the coal to China.
Who was
no more than the Canadian ambassador to China at one
point. Well, that's just a wild coincidence there.
Just a wild coincidence. We sell billions of dollars of coal.
Well, actually, I don't mind that at all. I mean, it's, I mean, they're destroying our resource sector. So the fact that we're still able to sell coal over there, I thought they were buying it all from the Russians anyway. But whatever. Let's talk about the Mounties. Well, this case involving this retired RCMP officer, a charge with conducting foreign interference. So, I mean, what's wrong with this guy working for the China? I mean, we got a prime minister working for the Chinese, for crying out loud. What's wrong with an ex-Mountie working for the Chinese to go after people who are suspected of possible criminal activity in China?
Yeah, well, this is where the trick comes. I think there's a quote in the story where the RCMP officers is in communications with someone while they're trying to track down information on this Mr. Sun.
Oh.
And he says to them, don't worry, I'm not going to do anything that crosses the line with either the U.S. or Canada. So he suspects he's being very careful about this. But this Mr. Sun is just not some small guy. At one point in 2003, before he left China, he was put down as the 388th richest person in China. And he made off with a few billion dollars.
Right. So no wonder the Chinese will want to go after all these people. Possibly for non-payment of taxes. I mean, I don't care if you steal from the Chinese government. I say go for it. All the power to you. Listen, they're the experts at theft. They're the experts at stealing intellectual property from the West. I mean, they're masters at it. Look what they did. They just completely destroyed Nortel. And then have sold their technology, sold the technology they stole back to us in the form of Huawei and all this other stuff. I mean, it's scandalous. So to me, it's like, hey, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. This former RCMP officer's name is William Mocker, and he faces two charges for alleged offenses under the Security of Information Act. So how could his work with the Chinese, I kind of know the answer, but you're the expert on this. You're the security expert. How could him working for the Chinese in this capacity jeopardize the security of Canada through this Security of Information Act?
Well, I guess that all depends. If you look at it this way, it's not unusual at all for former police officers to become investigators. In fact, it's not hard getting an investigator's job with all kinds of large company, insurance companies and ministry or other government agencies. They love the fact that you're trained. So you go in there and you use your skills to do it. The question is, if you use your skills and you do something outside the lines, like, for instance, it's said here that he was supposed to be looking at trying to find where his money was and his net worth. Had he found somebody who he worked with before to improperly reveal certain financial information to him, that would certainly be something that would be improper. If he was able to source it out using other normal means, it's not such a big deal. But here's what I find interesting with this. While he was looking at this person here, this person, Mr. Sun, took all this to court. He did not want to get extradited or taken back and arrested and moved back to China. So he fought all this. He went to court and he fought all this and he successfully got rid of the red notice. And I don't think he was not within his means to help maybe find some people here in the government that may help him. So how did he manage to?
Didn't we talk about this? I mean, the fact that I thought he had political ties, turns out he has ties with the conservatives, or has had in the past, that's Mr. Mocker. But I mean, is it possible he has some friends in the liberal government? I don't know. And is it possible that it's tied to election meddling as well? I don't know. Maybe not.
Let me tell you this, Mark.
Yep.
I used to do security for some of the wealthiest and most powerful people in the world.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not going to go into any names or such not, or what the times were. But let me tell you this. At the top of the food chain, it's not the blue party and the red party.
Mm-hmm.
They will work together as the green party. And I don't mean the environmental party. Right. If they can find deals where everybody makes out like bandits.
Sure.
So a lot of the times when you hear this talk about, oh, well, so-and-so gave to these people. They gave them. Yeah, they'll give to anybody that'll get the job done, that'll get them what they need.
Yeah.
I mean, the money is nonpartisan.
Yeah, except blue and red, I think, equals purple.
Well, yeah, our hands all turned purple.
It's the purple party when they're all gaining. But you actually have some news about the number of police, Chinese police stations. I mean, they're obviously taking over the country. So what are we up to now? La Presse did something on it out of Quebec, didn't they? What are we up to, 10? Something like that?
Yeah, they covered off, did a little bit more work on it, more freedom of information, and they found out that there was at least, or for sure, 7 Chinese police stations operating across Canada, 2 of them in Montreal. I suspect they're all operating where the Chinese people tend to congregate for doing things. And now these police stations were involved in intimidating people, threatening their relatives back home, and all those sort of things. The sort of shade that they're throwing at this former RCMP officer, you know. And the problem here, Mark, is we are not getting any answers. This country is so lawless now. It's unbelievable. I couldn't name you who the person is who's the head of the RCMP. I can't tell you if they're doing any investigations into any of this. They don't say if they're doing any investigations into any of this. We don't have a federal ethics commissioner. They decided not to hire him. Why hire somebody back in there to do the job? We don't have an ethics commissioner to investigate anything. And when Trudeau went on his last vacation, he told the papers, oh, we cleared it with the ethics commissioner, forgetting that there isn't one right now. So we've got nobody, including our courts. Our courts don't want to look at anything. We just had the big charter rights case go up to the Supreme Court on the churches all being shut down and the violations of charters of rights. And the Supreme Court said, we'll pass on that. It's only the largest violation in history. So our courts aren't working for us. The RCMP don't seem to be working for us. There's not an ethics commissioner working for us. And our money is going everywhere. And this country is getting sold out. And we don't have anybody to investigate. So I think we've got a real problem here with corruption and any good faith way of showing that our governments are not corrupt. I don't know how we show it, because if you don't investigate, how are you going to catch them? And we're not investigating. So I think we've got a real problem here as a country. We're teetering on Venezuela type governments here, where the government just says something and you're supposed to believe it.
Yeah, it's a controlled...
I'm not sure if Trudeau said this Globe and Mail story is false yet.
No, because I think it fits in with their need to try and restore whatever tiny bit of credibility the RCMP still has. And it deals with China, so they can say, oh, look, we're getting tough on China. Yeah, what, by going after an RCMP officer who may have worked with the CHICOMs. It's absolutely ridiculous. And by the way, they think Venezuela was a win. When you look at our regime, when they look at what they said, Maduro got away with it. Well, why can't we? I mean, he wrecked his country. He destroyed it. This is a controlled demolition of the country, man. It's getting pretty painfully obvious. And you outlined exactly why it is that when you look at what the cops are up to, which is basically nothing. A takeover of the judges. We already know they bought the media, lock, stock, and barrel. And now it's about censorship on the internet. So they're desperate to shut people up and make everybody poor and dependent, keep them with their hand out. And I just keep raising those carbon taxes, make people as dirt poor as possible, and you got them in the palm of your hand. This is right out of the Fidel Castro playbook. Anyway, well, I digress.
Let me finish up with just one more. Our Minister of Finance is playing footsie with China. We had $300 million we put into that Chinese infrastructure bank, which when the other Canadian guy on the board there says, this is nothing but Communist Party-run propaganda, he quit, resigned, and came back to Canada. And then we put that on pause. Oh, it's on pause. We haven't heard any more about it. I mean, we've got our Minister of Finance, our Prime Minister, Mark Medicino. I mean, name me one that is not involved and compromised in this cabinet with China. I think it's hard to find one that isn't.
Oh, absolutely. I have no doubt about that. And I mean, they're all compromised, aren't they? Is it Catherine McKenna coming out of the, crawling out from under her rock? This is like mega grifter. Talking about, oh, geez, I slipped my mind. Oh, yeah, blaming the conservatives for the fact that all these fires are taking place. Andrew Lawton tweeted about this. Apparently, she thinks that because the conservatives are opposing carbon taxes that they might as well be setting all these fires themselves. He's blaming them for doing it. Yeah, go back to wherever you came from, Catherine McKenna, and shut the hell up. You're an idiot. But it just goes on and on in terms of blaming other people for their own screw-ups.
Well, Mark, let me tell you this. My last podcast that is up was on media propaganda and the wrap-up smear. It's all the tricks that have come from back in time, far back as the Nazis coming forward, about how they lie, smear, and put propaganda out in the media. And I actually used that McKenna quote where she was caught in the bar drunk. And she says, what you do is you just say it and you say it over and over again. You say it louder and louder, then people will believe it.
Yeah.
That's what we do. That's what we do in the house.
Absolutely.
And here's just one other shocker. If your listeners want to tune into it at some point, they can find my podcast on the link on my Twitter account. It's on my profile at McLean Chronicle. That's with the
thank
MC,
you.
Not,
thank you
not
for
MC.
That. Yeah. But, at McLean Chronicle. Yeah.
Yeah, they can find it on there, where I found this very interesting profile done of Hitler by the Office of Strategic Services from the U.S. And they said, this is their profile on Hitler. They said, this is how he lies. Deny everything.
Yeah.
Don't let the public cool off. Blame someone else.
What do you mean, don't let the public
cool
off?
Accept no responsibility. It sounds just like the way this government is being run.
Yeah, well, but what do you mean, don't let the public cool off, exactly?
Always keep them boiling. As soon as they got something figured out, bring them another problem.
Right.
Emphasize it again. Don't let them get their feet underneath them, or they might figure out what's going on. Keep them scared. Keep them running.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the game.
It's interesting, too, this story. I didn't get to this because I was off last week. But this idea that Melanie Joly, the foreign affairs minister, says that Canada has a game plan if U.S. takes far-right authoritarian shift. So obviously, this far-left government is worried that Trump gets back into the White House and brings in more democracy, which, of course, these people are completely allergic to and are stripping away from Canadians. But you know what? Can you hang in for another segment, or do you have to run?
I can hang in for one more, certainly, Mark.
All right. Quick break. Back with more on News Talk Saga 960, The Mark Petronas Show, and Ross McLean after this. We are back with more on News Talk Saga 960, The Mark Petronas Show. So glad you could join us to start your work week right here on Saga 960. Ross McLean joining us. And I was asking him just before the break about this idea that somehow Melanie Joly, who's, let's face it, not the most deep person on the... she's not the deepest person on the planet. She says Canada has a game plan if the U.S. takes far-right authoritarian shift. I mean, Canada's taken an authoritarian shift through this government. I mean, this is the gaslighting that goes on. But presumably they're afraid that if Trump gets back in, that they got to do something. I would suggest that it's not beyond the possibility for these radicals to try and decouple from the U.S. dollar and join the BRICS or something crazy like that. I don't know. Am I going way out there? Or is it possible that these vile slime balls would actually do something like that? Attempt a decoupling from the greenback if they felt that they were being quote unquote threatened by Trump in the White House, back in the White House?
Well, I will say this. The Liberal Party has very close ties to the Democratic Party. And you know, it's funny when we say this, the Liberal Party, I don't think these guys actually represent classic liberals. These are far left activists. And they are very tied to the Democratic Party in the States, which once again isn't the Democratic Party that it used to be. It's far left and it's horribly corrupt. So they talk about this. Don't forget that Justin Trudeau gave, it's in the millions. How many millions of dollars he gave to the Clinton Foundation? Why? Why are we giving money to the Clinton Foundation? Now, that was done a while ago. We've had on his campaigns, one of the guys who run Obama's campaigns comes up here and helps them run their campaigns for when they do stuff. And the most weaselly of all was, you remember when Justin went for his little trip down to the Aga Khan's island, right? The little secret ethics violation trip to the Aga Khan's island for doing stuff. He secretly met. It didn't come out till a little bit later. I looked into it. He secretly met with John Kerry down there on the island. This was just before Trump was elected.
Lurch.
Now, why is he having an off-the-record meeting with someone like John Kerry who goes around the world. He's the guy, of course, pushing that our polar ice caps are melted.
They're not.
And we're all dead. We're all dead right now because of the way things went.
That's a lie.
Based on John Kerry.
Liars.
And after that, they started coming out with all the anti-Trump stuff and all the stuff coming out. So I think they're actively working with the Democratic Party to put Canada in a position that, guess what? The greatest, richest, best capitalist market on earth that we happen to share and live beside, we don't get along with. We don't get to do trade with. It's just absolutely ridiculous. If you're responsible, you want no better customer than the U.S. on your border. Mark, we're a tiny little country of some 38 million. It may be 50 million by, maybe it may be 50 million right now. I haven't checked the border in the last hour. But we are in no position to be economically sticking our finger in the eye of the Americans every time that it suits whoever's getting paid to do this and make these comments.
Yeah. Well, she's saying it, and people are laughed at him, saying, what are you going to do about it? But it dawned on me that these guys could try something that crazy. If Trump was president of the United States, of course, they'd have their globalist buddies in their corner all the way. And they could just turn around and say, yeah, we're going to decouple. We're going to separate ourselves. I mean, I don't think it's even possible. But you never know. They might give it a shot. I mean, look what they did with Meta. And now, of course, they're going after Meta again. Trudeau saying, well, Facebook, is very bad because of the removal of news links during the wildfire season. Meta's move is, quote, putting corporate profits ahead of people's safety, quote. So he's blaming Facebook for what the government did. They tried their shakedown. It blew up in their face. And now they're trying a face-saving way, so to speak, no pun intended, at going after Facebook, saying, look how mean they are. You know, by not paying us our ransom that we demand, they're being bad and putting Canadians at risk. Prime Minister Trudeau took aim at Facebook parent company Meta this week, saying the company's move to remove news links from its website is putting corporate profits ahead of people's safety. This is absolutely on blackface. What do you think?
Yeah, I was just going to say blackface versus Facebook doing it. You know, they're doing.
I think Facebook has the edge on blackface personally. I mean, they're just laughing at this guy.
I worked at one time for this global company. We were number 42 in the world for revenues. And we brought in some 30-odd billion in revenues. Not in profits, in revenues around the world, right? Well, Facebook brings in about $30 billion in profits every quarter, in profits.
Yeah.
They are so big as to be a juggernaut.
You think that $11 million in Canadian advertising that they pulled is going to hurt them? That's like they have that $11 million in between the sheet cushions over at Zuckerberg's office. I mean, I don't think that's going to bother them in the slightest. Do you?
Well, the problem is our government is running out of money because it's killed all of our industry. You know, I actually ask people sometime, I'm going to ask your listeners to think about this.
Yeah.
Name me any huge, influential Canadian company now that makes anything of any matter anywhere. Try and name one. Try and think of one that does something that isn't foreign-owned. Yeah. Like, you can't say, like, Ford Canada or GM.
Is Magna still around?
But they do a ton of their work over in Europe, actually. Where they do a ton of their work for doing stuff, right? But there's not many. We don't have the Northern Telecoms anymore. We don't have the Blackberries anymore. We don't have our oil companies anymore. We don't have our liquid natural gas companies anymore. We don't have our forestry taking off and going like crazy. And everything gets held up in this country. So they're running out of money. So what they've decided to do is try and chase down the only ones who have money, which are these tech companies. Now, the problem for modern governments, Mark, is that in the old days, you could tax the heck out of a car manufacturer because they couldn't lift up their car plant and move it very easy. But you go and try and tax a digital company too hard, they just go, bleep, thank you, and they make a little change in their coding, and you're gone, and they won't have any operations in your country, and you won't be able to tax them. So these guys are looking for money, and more money to give away, by the way. I'll just say that. You know, Mark, this is such an important thing to know, that when it comes to money, I'm going to give you the short version of this. You have to give money to people who know how to make it, how to multiply it, how to make it work, how to put it into work. If you look at any billionaires, and I've been around billionaires before, they're working all the time. They've got all their money invested. They're putting it in other things that makes money. That's what makes them happy. You look at the frauds and the fakes, they just spend the money. They spend it. Yeah. They don't make anything with it. They don't put the money to work. And what we have now are these guys living off the backs of taxpayers. And by the way, your children's backs and your grandchildren's backs and probably your future great-grandchildren's backs, if you have any, because they'll be paying the debt that these guys are spending and running up. They're not making us any money at all.
Well, but they're bankrupting the place, Ross. I mean, you know that.
Volkswagen is doing pretty well. Stellantis is doing pretty well. Yeah, we're giving billions and billions of dollars to foreign corporations.
Corporate welfare.
Everybody in this country used to wear T-shirts about maybe 15, 20 years ago, and they all had the name Gildan in the back of them, right? That's what all the T-shirts were. All the T-shirts were handed out and given. They had to leave this country a long time ago because they can't make any money here. They don't do any manufacturing of simply T-shirts here anymore. So this government had better, we better get somebody in there who knows how to employ money. Minimum, who stops just throwing it away to China. Like, China doesn't need our money. We need our money.
I got to ask you about this ridiculous story. This is the left being more and more panicky about Pierre Poilievre. They've just posted this. This is clearly a liberal. According to a poll, most think that Tories would be better off if Poilievre left. I kid you not. This is a guy who's polling 10 points ahead of Blackface. An online poll, it's got to be legit, reflects the coalition of sorts behind conservative leader Pierre Poilievre, younger, more male than not. I'm reading it verbatim. It's bizarre. More male than not and less likely to have a university education. So they're diminishing anybody who supports him. Most readers in an online poll said this week the federal conservatives would do better in the next election with a leader who wasn't Pierre Poilievre. Some 61% of you felt this way, which is not much of a vote of confidence, but more than Justin Trudeau got last week, with 70% saying liberals would fare better than in the next election. So the headline of this is not that the vast majority of people think that the liberals should get rid of Justin Trudeau, but know that the Tories should get rid of Poilievre. But to me, this suggests they're trying to create a scenario where Canadians are going to think that the Conservatives would be better off. Better off in what way? You know, I guess if you think that the Conservatives would be better off if they allowed the Liberals to win, then yeah, get rid of Pierre Poilievre. But I mean, based on the polling that we've seen, not online polling, but real polling, reasonably real, the mainstream pollsters, I mean, Poilievre is way ahead of the Liberals. What do you make of this thing? It's garbage, isn't it?
Well, this is the garbage. It started way back in around 2008. You started to see a whole lot of these psychological operations come in to do stuff. If you tune into the States and you listen down in the States now, they're all saying, all the talk shows, they need to get rid of Trump as the leader of the Republican Party. He's a problem for them. They need to get rid of him. Up here, like I said, we're echoing the same thing. You need to get rid of Poilievre. He's the leader of their party. Like, I don't know about you. I don't listen to my critics and my opposition very much on getting advice on how to win, right, for doing stuff. So these psychological operations, I remember watching the TV and the returns. It was back around 2008 or so. And I started noticing that all of a sudden they divided the polls up into the college-educated and those not college-educated. And the college-educated people were going for the Democrats, and the rubes were going for the Republicans. And they find these little points of division and labeling, you know, words to label people, words to smear people, words to discredit people. And I'll just say this: if the truth is on your side, you don't need to lie and smear your opponent. It's only when the truth isn't on your side and you're worried that you got to go to the smear tactics.
Last word about fat bottom girls. You know the song, obviously, Queen. I mean, right? This is performing live. Come on, let's hear some lyrics.
Hey!
Don't you let me know. Yeah. All right, so I guess they're on the fat shaming thing. The Queen actually left it, apparently, off their greatest hits album. It's being canceled, presumably for fat shaming. My question to you is, would a song called Fat Ass White Dudes fare a similar fate?
I did not know where you were going with this. Playing this one, but the funny thing is, there was just a song, I'm trying to think of it, where there's a girl who sings about having a big badonk or whatever or something. It was what brought all the, and it was all a good thing when they were singing about it. So once again, the beauty is in the eye of the beholder, or the racists are in the eyes of those wearing racial lenses, or as I like to say, hateful lenses for dealing with people.
All right. We got to sign off, but say goodbye. But quick word about your podcast. How can people access it?
Come follow me off my Twitter there at McLean Chronicle, and they can find it there. The link is on my profile for it. Follow me on my profile. Get onto it. I'm going to be putting up a new one either tonight or tomorrow on a topic. My latest one, as I say, is on propaganda and smears, and I think people will learn a lot from it. It's a bit of a history lesson on how to decode the media and figure out whether you're being snowed or you're being told the truth.
Fantastico. Thank you, my friend. Great talking to you. Real pleasure. Mark. Ross McLean. Let's take a break. Back with more News Talk Saga 960, the Mark Petronas Show after this.